I want to talk to us today about something else in the Bible. Turn over to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. It's good to be here with the brothers. John chapter 8, we're going to start in verse 27 through 30. And this is Jesus talking to his disciples here, and it says, they did not understand that he was telling them about his Father. So Jesus said, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am the one I claim to be, and that I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him. Even as he spoke, many put their faith in him. You know, it's really not hard to understand what the Bible says. It says right here, for I always do what pleases him. So I looked in a couple of different translations, and it said the same thing. I always do what pleases him. I always do what pleases him. If we didn't know anything else about Jesus, just that alone will be enough to inspire us, to challenge us, to always do what pleases him. Now, it's funny because look at what he says in chapter 5, John 5, verse 30. Even before he said that to them, this is what he said in chapter 5, verse 30. By myself, I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just. For I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. Jesus said it again. I'm not here to please myself. I'm not here for me. I'm here for God. Now, no one else on earth has ever fulfilled this mission like Jesus has. Now, we all want to please God, and we do here and there. But Jesus says, I always do what pleases him. Now, let's look at what Jesus said, what God said about Jesus. Look at Matthew chapter 3, verse 16. Matthew 3, verse 16. This is after Jesus was baptized. In verse 16, Matthew 3, 16, as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love. With him, I am well pleased. Jesus said, I always do what pleases him. And God says, you know what? With him, I'm well pleased. And look in chapter 17, Matthew 17, verse 1. This is during the transfiguration. Matthew 17, verse 1. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun. His clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said, this is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. Again, Jesus said, I always do what pleases my Father in heaven. And God is looking down saying, listen to him. I'm pleased with him. Listen to him. I'm pleased with him. Over and over. And then Jesus gives us a parable in Matthew chapter 25 in which he reflects how God views us when we're trying to please him. Look at Matthew 25, verse 19. Again, Jesus gives us a parable to help us understand this. Matthew 25. We'll start in verse 19. He's talking about the parable of the talents. It says, after a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come share your master's happiness. Again, he's just talking about the joy that God feels when we're doing the best we can to please him. Now, in the Old Testament, they had the 10 Commandments. They had the law. And everybody tried to obey the law. Look at what it says in Colossians chapter 2. Colossians 2, verse 20. It says, Since you died with Christ to the basic principles of this world, why, as though you still belong to it, do you submit to its rules? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. These are all destined to perish with use, because they are based on human commands and teachings. Such regulations indeed have an appearance of wisdom, but their self-imposed worship, their false humility, and their harsh treatment of the body, but they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. He says, listen, we had the Ten Commandments, and there were laws we were to follow. But just because you had these laws and rules didn't deal with the hearts of the people. And even in religion, people come up with rules and systems and events, but that doesn't change the heart. Because people can follow a certain rule, but yet inside they're living a whole different way. And then when those rules are removed, all the wildness comes all out. But there are times when I do the right thing because it's the right thing to do. I don't always think, I want to just please God all the time. Sometimes I think, you know what, I better not do this because I'm going to hurt my family. Sometimes I think, I can't do this because it's going to mess up the church. Sometimes I think, if I do this, I'm not going to be able to do my job anymore. Because I know I'm getting fired if I go and do this, what I'm thinking about doing. All my emotions aren't always saying, I'm here to please God. There's a bunch of different things that stop me from doing different sins. Some of it's fear. Some of it's different things. But those things don't last forever. Why? Because even fear, it says, fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It just starts you out on the right track. It's like, okay, here's the rules. Okay, you can obey them, but that doesn't mean you're going to continue to obey them. It's like when you see a sign that says wet paint, you're going to touch it. Why? Because it's wet paint, or it says do not touch. Well, I'm going to make sure it's wet. I mean, there's certain parts of us that just want to be rebellious in our nature. It's a yellow light. It's yellow. I'm going to get through it in time. That's a part of who we are at times. People please. Sometimes we don't do certain things because we want to make sure people are happy, where we look good in front of people. It says in Galatians 1, verse 10, who are you trying to please, man or God? Seeking to please God, if that's what we're trying to do, that's what will help it last. Fear, people pleasing, selfishness, it's not going to last. So, all that being said, I want to challenge us tonight, because this is a challenge I gave myself for the rest of this month. There's 24 more days in this month, because we got an extra day, leap year. So this challenge comes for me, but also I want to say it to you, and prayerfully, you take this challenge for the rest of this month. So, in other words, if you didn't give me a birthday gift, let this be my gift, that you take this challenge. My challenge is this: to focus on doing what pleases God. Now, I know we want to do that, but I want us to focus on it, actually. You say, well, wait a minute, I don't know what I need to do. Okay, look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Because sometimes, honestly, many of us think we don't know what to do to please God. But the Bible says something different. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1. Finally, brothers, we instructed you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are living. Now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more. For you know what instructions we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. In other words, you do know how to please God. If you are a Christian, you are a disciple, you know how to please God. So we can't say, I don't know how to please God. No. You already know. This is what Paul was even saying. You already know. Now just do it more and more. So I want to give us a few things that we can focus on so we can please God. Number one, Hebrews 11, verse 6. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Our focus for this month is pleasing God. Now again, this is going to stretch us because we are already doing it, but you need to do it more and more, which means if you're there, take it further. Stretch yourself further than what you're already doing. So in verse 11, it says this, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Point number one, be faithful, not faithless. What can you do to please God? You can be faithful. That's what will please God. Now, it's not just saying, I'm faithful. No. Why? Because the real battle in being faithful takes place in your mind and in your heart. That's where the real battle in being faithful is. Well, what do you mean? 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. You can just write that down. We're not going to read it. 2 Corinthians 10, 5. It says, take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. That's what being faithful is about. See, you may think something that's not great. You may see somebody who's very attractive and you're tempted to look. You may feel like, oh, it's just sitting there, nobody's watching, I can pick that up and take it with me. You can have these thoughts, but the Bible says, take captive every thought. This is going to show you're faithful. You're sitting there, you're watching TV, your wife comes in, needs you to help her carry groceries in, or the kids need help doing something, and you're like, you know what, not right now. Take captive that thought of you being lazy, and become a giver. It's about being faithful with your thoughts and your heart. That's the difference. See, you can't please God if your thoughts and decisions are focused on you. If we really say we love God, then doing what I want means doing what God wants me to do. And that's the important thing. Again, it's not a list of do's and don'ts. I can't do this. I can't do this. I can't do this. No, it's you making decisions the rest of this month that are pleasing to God. So when you're sitting there, you're thinking, should I do this or should I not? No, no, no. Is this going to please God or is this not going to please God? It's just how you look at your decisions and your thoughts. This person wants to, got his blinker on and he's trying to get over and cut in front of me. Is it going to please God for me to just run up there and make him not get over and let him, ha-ha? What's going to be pleasing to God? 15 seconds to let them get in front of you. Is that going to be a big deal? Your wife says, hey, can we talk? Is this pleasing to God? Just sit down and have a conversation. I mean, you got to ask yourself, for the rest of this month, just think, is this pleasing to God? Not, should I do this or should I not do it? No. Is it pleasing to God? Should I watch this on TV? Should I look at this website on my phone, even though nobody else knows what I'm looking at? Is this pleasing to God? Should I stare at her all the way to the bus stop? Or just a little bit? Is it pleasing to God? Should I jump the rail or pay the... No. First point is this. Be faithful, not faithless. And it comes down to your mind asking yourself the question, is this pleasing to God? You know Jesus did that over and over again. Think about it. A woman caught in adultery, caught a naked woman walking right there in front of him. First thing you're thinking, what's going to be pleasing to God? So he starts drawing in the dirt, take his focus off of her and starts drawing in the dirt. He had to think, what's going to be pleasing to my Father? For me to look at, he could have looked and had a big discussion on it. You see this woman right here? Look at her. This could have been something that each of you could have done. Look at her. No, look at her. Look at her. He didn't do that. He was thinking, what's going to be pleasing to God? Let me take the attention off of her. That's pleasing to God. And let me write in the dirt so all y'all sinners will look and see what I wrote in the dirt. Point number one, faithful, not faithless. Point number two, Romans chapter 15, verse 1 and 2. Romans 15. Are y'all with me here? We clicking? All right. Romans 15, verse 1 and 2. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please his neighbor for his good. to build him up. The second point I want us to focus on for this month is to help and encourage somebody. To help and encourage somebody. What do you mean by that? Here's the challenge. For many of us, or for me, it may be you too, I am not one that's very vocal in encouraging. Like, I will encourage, or hey, you know, what's up, you know, whatever. But I've got to grow in verbally saying it, acknowledging it. Now, I know we can't use our past, and this is what I got to get over. It's like, you know, it never happened to me, so why do I do it to other people? You know, I'm just not used to it, so I don't do it. Well, if I'm a Christian, I need to get used to it. So my challenge for myself, thus you as well, is every day I'm going to say something or text something or email something or a phone call that's encouraging to somebody. So you may like, who is this? What number is this? 816. Oh, that's the winning Kansas City Chiefs number, zip code. Either way, for you just to encourage somebody, at least one person every day. It could be somebody in your household, your family, you work with, in the church. Doesn't matter. Just encourage. Even if it's a text message, be encouraged, an email, a phone call, whatever. But this is something that many of us need to grow in, is learning how to encourage people. And those of us that are challenged with encouraging, God gives you daughters. So you have to learn to talk and encourage over and over every day of your life. Can I get amen on that one, sir? No, if you have a son, you need to be encouraging to the mother so the son can learn how to encourage and not be like, oh, let's not get off course. Second point is encourage somebody. Help encourage somebody. Third point is this. Pray for others. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. 1 Timothy 2, verse 1 through 4. I urge you then, first of all requests, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God, our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Brothers, we need to pray for each other. And we don't need to just say, God bless all the men in the church. Just like we talk about Elijah, we need to get specific in prayer. So how can you do that? Then you need to say, you know what, Corey, what can I pray for you for? You know what, Raul, what can I pray for you for? Paul, what can I pray for you? We need to ask, what can we pray for you for? We need to get specific in our prayer. Now it says pray for everybody. That means we need to pray for President Trump as well. We need to pray for politicians. We need to pray for police, the fire department, everybody. Some's like, well, yeah, I'm going to pray to God, deal with them. No. We need to pray for them. God will handle what he needs to handle. We need to stop pretending like we God and that we know what's best. We don't know what's best. But yet, we got to make sure we're just doing what the Bible says and we're praying and leaving it in God's hands. This isn't a Republican or Democrat speech. Neither one of them. This is a Christian speech. Pray for everybody because we all need prayer. And then finally, the last one, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15 and 16. Hebrews 13, 15 and 16. It says, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. If you look at each of these scriptures, it's talking about what pleases God. Because this is what we're talking about. I always do what pleases my Father. We're talking about what pleases God. He says we need to share the praise of our lips. We need to share with others. Brothers, I want to encourage us, each of us, to share with at least 10 people this month. that's not even a whole lot. I mean, we used to do like 10 a day back in the day. We're talking about 10 for the month of February. For some of us, that is history. But we need to have at least 10 people that we can share with. We are all going to see at least 10 people in the next 24 days. You can do 10 in one day if you want. It doesn't matter. It's totally up to you. But here's what I'm saying, though. I don't want to just say, hey, why don't you come to my church? This isn't about church. We need to be praising God, talking about sharing who you are. I'm not saying don't invite people to church, but that's not the focus. The focus is we need to share with people so they can understand and see a light in this dark world. All this being said, when you wake up in the morning, you need to think and pray, God, I want to please you today. When you go to bed at night, you need to sit back and think before you go to bed, did I please God today? And if you didn't, you need to make the next day better than that day was. What are we going to find ourselves when we do this? Number one, you're going to find yourself that you can please God. Many times am I pleasing God? Am I doing right? You can please God. It's really not that hard. It's just a matter of us denying self and putting God first. A lot of it is we just never even think, does this please God? Ask yourself that question, and then once you start doing it, you're going to see, man, I'm pleased God today. I pleased God today. You're going to be able to feel good about yourself and not beat yourself down. You're going to see, God, things happen today. The next thing you're going to find out is how sinful you really are. And then you're going to understand God's grace is so good. Because you're going to see, you know what? That wasn't pleasing to God what I did. I shouldn't have raised my voice like that. That wasn't pleasing to God. I shouldn't have snapped like that. That wasn't pleasing to God. But you know what? He still forgave me. And he still gave me another day to make up for what happened. You know what? Thank you for your grace, God. Because it wasn't as pleasing as I wanted it to be. But yet you're still allowing me another day to live. And then thirdly, we're going to realize, you know what? You are a better encourager than you thought you were. Once you start encouraging people, you're going to start to feel good. Because encouragement is not just for them. In our minds, we think, yeah, I'm going to encourage you. But you know what? You feel good when you encourage other people. It's a two-way street. And sometimes we don't realize that because we don't encourage nobody. We just wait for it to come to us. But once you start encouraging people, you're going to start to feel a whole lot better about yourself. One, you're going to say, you know what, this pleases God for me to encourage people. I'm pleasing God by not just giving a hug, but saying something verbal about people, letting them know how much you care about them, letting them know, hey, I prayed for you last Tuesday. I just want you to know that. Man, that's encouraging. Guys, I want us to walk away thinking, is this pleasing to God? If you can walk out of here with nothing else but at least that changing in your mindset to ask yourself that question over and over, is this pleasing to God? Is this television show pleasing to God? Is this talk radio sports pleasing to God? Even though they arguing and I'm mad at them because they don't know what they're talking about and you end up mad listening to the radio, then you got to go to work and take it out on somebody. Is that pleasing to God? And when ain't nobody at work, take it out on you, come home, take it out on your family. I mean, see, we got to just ask ourselves, is this pleasing to God? This is a great month. But let's make it great by each of us making a decision to please God. That's what's really going to make this month great. If every single one of these men, 100 men walk out of here saying, I'm going to please God the rest of this month, I'm sure God's going to be so excited and encouraged by the men in the Bronx. It's our decision, what we do with it. We will walk out pleasing God, or we can let Satan have the victory. It's not that hard, guys. I'm a little fearful. You can overcome, sacrifice that fear. Fear is just about thinking about ourselves. But if we think about pleasing God, we can overcome our fears. I just want to share this with us because this is what I'm going through. This is what I'm changing. This is what I'm dealing with. Maybe this applies to you directly or maybe around the corner or something, but hey, I'm just letting you know this is where I'm at. And I'm sure many of us could be in the same boat. We came over on different ships, but we're all in the same boat now. And that's what we got to remember. I love you. Have a great time of fellowship. To God be the glory. Amen.